This is Cliff Central. The open book on cliffcentral.com.
Yeah, every praise is to our God. Just what a wonderful year it's been. It's amazing to think that already it is the 3rd of December 2015. A beautiful summer's day to you all. 3 days into summer, but here in Johannesburg, man, it feels like we've had summer for the past 3 months. That's how hot it has really, really been. Well, I was actually speaking to a friend of mine just the other day who lives in Scotland, a South African guy. He's been there for about 23 years or so. So he's around here to visit, and so I met up with him actually at a concert that I was doing with my brothers, Bala Brothers. And so I said to him, so you're going to be here for Christmas? And he said, oh no, man, I'm actually going to be leaving in a few days' time. I'm like, why would you go back to cold Scotland? He said, because I can't get used to this hot Christmas. I mean, what is that? I was like, hey, man, you know what? Each to their own, because there is no ways that I would actually want to freeze around this time. So, yeah, for those of you who are listening to us in different, you know, like in certain places, in other places around the world, a warm welcome to the Open Book right here on Cliff Central. It is. We've got another 2 weeks to go. Well, you've probably got another 2 weeks to go before you've got to get that Christmas shopping done. And another month or so to go before you have to get ready for work. Don't mean to be a party pooper, you know, but the thing is, we've really got to face reality at this time. Because truth be told, a lot of people come December, including myself, actually, we kind of live like it's the last month of our lives. And then suddenly January hits as if we haven't actually really been waiting for it. We're in a frenzy to lose weight, quit a bad habit, and for most of us, we get into a frenzy to actually kind of get right with God. That's why the first service of every single year is probably the fullest out of the whole year, you know, maybe second to Christmas. And you know what? And a lot of these times, right, these resolutions just never really quite materialized past the third month of the year. You stop going to gym, you stop going to church. And also because you kind of were praying for God to give you a vision for the year. And now because nothing has sort of materialized as yet, you just go on living the same life in 2016 that you lived in 2015. So my goal for this December... My goal for December 2015, yes, I still have goals. This year is still pretty much on. It is to find my purpose for 2016. In what? In prayer. So that by the time that 2016 starts, I can hit the ground running. Okay? I don't want to get into 2016. I'm in the middle of it. Suddenly I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do this year? And then spend the whole 2-3 months trying to find the direction that God has for my life. And then before you know, all the work has been taken up and now I've got to just take the scraps from the floor. No, I'm going to do it right now in December so that by the time January comes, my head is clear. I know exactly what it is I've got to do. And by the 3rd of December, I'm calling Duncan going, yo, let's do this or let's do this, you know, so we don't go on just muffling around in January. So yeah, I hope that today's show will actually encourage you to do the same. And so our topic for today is how to pray. Mm-hmm. Can you believe that? That's our topic in the beginning of December, and that is how to pray. And some of the questions we'll be seeking answers to, hopefully we'll be finding answers to, is number one, why pray? Can I pray too much? What is the sinner's prayer? Should I pray to the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? A very important question. Another one is, how can I be sure that I'm praying the will of God? Another one is, what is the Lord's Prayer and should we pray it? And we're even going to discuss near the end one that sometimes skeptics get the best of it and people don't really quite know how to go about it, and that is praying in tongues. And the person that I have with me today who will be helping me to answer all these questions is Pastor Tafara Butai. We had him last week. I think it's like the fourth time on the show.
Right.
You know, he is like the truth. Okay. If you want Bible truth without anybody telling us about themselves, you've got Pastor Tafara for that. So I'm going to be chilling with him today. He is from Faith Hill Church. So you know what? today is going to be like a Bible study.
That's right.
Okay, so I want to ask you that you take your pens and your papers out so that you can write these notes down. But also, if you don't have those, and then at least then just get the app, you know, get the Cliff Central app so that you can actually rewind, because this podcast is the one that you're going to need while you're going through this time of prayer. And if you are listening to us live and you've got some questions on prayer, because I know that there are a lot. I had a lot of questions, and not to say that I know a lot about prayer. So you're very much welcome to give us a call right here on the Open Book. The number is 0861-555. Duncan, what have you done? I was reading the number. Okay. 0861-555-189. You can also tweet us as well. I am at Loiso Music, or you can send us a tweet at cliffcentral.com. Facebook, Cliff Central. Duncan, what are you doing? I can't see those numbers anymore. Okay, there we go. Or you can send us a message on Cliff Central or WeChat. To send a message on WeChat, just tap connect and then message to show. MSG, the number 2, show. We'd like to hear from you. Today's like a Bible study. And our topic is how to pray. We'll be back with you after this with Pastor Tafara Butai.
This is Cliff Central.
Pastor Tafara, thank you so much for joining us once again here on the Open Book.
Thank you, Loiso, for having me.
So good to always have you. Now, Pastor Tafara is an author of 2 books, but the one that really, really touched me over the past 2-3 days is one that is called Every Prayer Answered.
Yeah,
that's what it's called. Every Prayer Answered.
Yes,
So today we're going to be speaking about that. Pastor Farah, there's a misconception of what prayer is. What is prayer?
This question haunted me for a very long time, because according to the religious practices, prayer is, you know, when you get on your knees to speak to the Heavenly Father. And in some other sectors of the religious world, prayer is an opportunity to ask from God. Of course, there is a prayer of asking, but that's not all there is to prayer. In fact, the Hebrew word prayer translated means fellowship. You know, it means hanging out with God. It means, you know, having a relationship with God. And that's, I believe, the foundation of prayer. I mean, if you look at Adam in the garden, Adam prayed every noonday. He met with God to have fellowship. I mean, what's interesting about that is that Adam prayed when he didn't have anything, any house to believe God for, any wife to believe God for, or any needs, yet he still prayed. You know why? Because prayer is not about presenting a grocery list to our Heavenly Father. It is about having a fellowship, a relationship with Him.
So then I assume that there are many things that we can construed as prayer, even just like maybe I'm just trying to think now, because some of the times I've said to people, I'll pray for you, and that is in a time of need. So we're ever able to pray for someone without them necessarily needing anything?
Yes, we can. And I mean, we see it throughout the whole scripture, where the Apostle Paul prayed for all the churches that he wrote letters to. So we can actually pray for someone, and without necessarily them having a special request or a need. And we can ourselves pray to God without having anything to ask Him for. I mean, it's like having a relationship, a husband and a wife.
It's talking.
I mean, I'd get annoyed.
It's like chatting, really.
It is. It's just having, in fact, the other word besides fellowship is communion.
Yeah.
It's having a communion, you know, with our Heavenly Father. And just like a husband and a wife, I mean, I'd get annoyed if my wife only came to me when she wanted something. You know, gimme, gimme, gimme.
You're right.
My name is Jimmy. You wanted to,
yeah. I guess really what it is that once you have a relationship with someone, what you have to do is that you have to constantly communicate with them.
That's it.
I found that in my relationship with my wife.
That's it.
That's what it is. When I stop communicating, the relationship starts to, you know, like starts to break. To break apart, you know. So it's important that we just can communicate, whether it's in the car, whether it's just to say, hey, thank you so much for this, or like, oh wow, I mean, like, I had such a great day.
That's it.
So yeah.
And that's what our Heavenly Father, you know, wants from us. He wants a relationship. You know, just like the prodigal son's father, he's just longing to have us around and just to have that fellowship. And that essentially is what prayer is.
Mm. You know, so it's not necessarily getting down on your knees.
No.
It's not necessarily going to a certain building.
No.
You know?
No.
It's just speaking to him because he's always listening.
That's it. Mm. And I like it because it freed me from all the religious pressures that I had, you know, thinking, oh no, I haven't prayed enough, or I'm just not having a prayer life, by just realizing that, hey, listen, me having fellowship with God, that's all he wants. And guess what? When you have fellowship with someone, when my wife and I have a fellowship, she doesn't even have to ask me stuff. I know exactly what she wants before she even asks. You know why? Because we are so in tune one with another. And this is why Jesus said, your heavenly Father, he knows what you need, what you're in need of, and he even answers before you pray.
Yeah.
Or before you ask.
So now, if prayer is a communication between between us and God,
right?
So obviously God speaks to us as well.
That's it.
While we pray.
That's
so
it.
How do we listen to God while we pray?
Man, I think God speaks to us differently. He speaks to us according to who we are and how we are inclined to hear. For me personally, I find God speaks to me in my own personal voice. And that's weird. And sometimes I could be walking around in the mall or I'm, you know, standing in line at Pick and Pay, and God will speak to me something. And what's interesting about it is I hear it in my own personal voice. You know why? Because sometimes the Holy Spirit uses my own personal voice, my own personal a mouth to speak to me and my heart, and I hear it as my own voice. The only way I distinguish between my own selfish desires and God speaking to me is compassion. If it's filled with compassion, if it's filled with love, then I know it's God. It's definitely not me.
Yeah. Now, as I was reading your book, I noticed that there are some do's and that there are some don'ts, you know, when praying. So before we get to the do's when praying, what are the don'ts of prayer?
Now, what's interesting about that is when I wrote the book, I was reading in Matthew chapter number 6, where Jesus was talking about, you know, the three most important things in a believer's life. He talked about how to pray, he talked about how to fast, and he talked about how to give. And what was interesting in that day is that when the Pharisees would pray, fast, or give, they would always blow a trumpet to attract attention before they do it, so that they can get approval of men, or, you know, get a man's attention and so on and so forth. And when Jesus got to teaching about prayer, the first thing he said is in Matthew 6 verse 5, and when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites. Or he said, when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. So he started with the thou shalt not as prayer. And the first one was, for they love to pray standing in synagogues, on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward and in full. And Jesus is not talking against public prayer, but what he is talking against is the motive for prayer. He's saying, if your motive is to attract attention from others, if your motive is to get a reward from people, you know, when people say, oh man, that brother prays, if that's what you're looking for, that's all you're going to get from your prayer life.
Okay.
So Jesus is addressing the motive of prayer, because he himself prayed publicly. So
I was just going to ask that. I mean, like, so does that mean that there's something wrong with us praying in public?
No, that's not what he's talking about.
Because a lot of people use that. They're like, yeah, well, they can't pray in public.
No.
You know?
That's not what Jesus is saying. I mean, he prayed publicly.
Behind it.
It's the motive.
Yeah.
He's saying, if your motive is to attract man's attention, if your motive is to be seen by man, then you've got it all wrong. And that was the first don't. And the second one, he said, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard for their much speaking. In other words, Jesus is telling us that virtue in prayer is not in a multitude of words. Virtue in prayer is in faith.
You're so right. And you know, and the thing is, a lot of times that we actually pray in a lot of words is because we don't have faith coming, you know, coming into prayer.
Right.
We praying, not sure if God is actually really hearing us, or that, like, whether we've explained ourselves properly. But there is a scripture, though, I mean, like, in the Bible, where it speaks about the fact that, you know, that God even hears our sigh.
Come on.
When it's, you know, like, when it's directed to him, and even answers those prayers.
That's
you know,
it.
The fact that you don't need a lot of words. You just need, how can I say it again? It's like you just need to be real.
That's it.
You know?
That's
but
it.
It's hard, though, because we are taught that we need to pray the word of God to him.
That's it. You so have to.
So how do we know then whether we're praying the will of God when we pray?
I think, like you said, to pray the will of God.
And the will is the word of God.
The will is the word of God. I mean, and the Bible is clear. It says, this is the Apostle John speaking. He says, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And yeah. if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions or we have the things that we have asked of him. So a prayer requisite for having your prayers answered is to just pray the word. Pray in line with God's word. Pray in line with God's will. And when you do that, you won't have to convince God how bad or how terrible the situation is. You won't have to, you know, babble blab a lot of words. You just, you know, get to the point. I mean, Jesus raised Lazarus with a two-word prayer. Lazarus, come forth.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it was you and me trying to raise someone from the dead.
Oh, no. We need everything to be right. Chase people out the room, you know.
Play something nice.
Play something nice just to get us to a point, you know. And chances are we're probably still not too sure whether we're doing, you know, like we're doing the right thing.
That's it.
You speak about seven types of prayers.
Right.
Actually, I think I actually got a verse. I got a verse here somewhere. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, which says, and pray in the Spirit, because you quote this in your book. Okay?
Right.
And
right.
pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests.
That's it.
So the Bible speaks about all these kinds of prayers.
That's it.
And also these kinds of requests.
That's it.
Can you just briefly, before we get into them, just give us the names of these kinds of prayers with just a short description of each of them?
I like Ephesians 6:18 because it talks about the different kinds of prayers. And one man of God actually once said, you know, these different kinds of prayers are like different sports that we have in the world.
Yeah.
And they all operate with different rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the sports have different rules and regulations, these prayer types have different rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to quickly go through them. There is what I like to call the prayer of petition.
Yeah, huh?
Which is basically the prayer of asking. And a lot of us operate in this majorly mm-hmm. and exclusively. And we have the prayer of intercession.
Yeah.
And we have the praying in tongues.
Yes.
And we have the prayer of meditation.
Uh-huh.
And we have the prayer of consecration.
Uh-huh.
And I think those are the basic prayer types that I mention in my book.
Okay, cool. We're gonna go through those just now, just to
right.
get a. But before we just go into a slight break, Sibeko wrote us a WeChat. Sent to WeChat, so we say it. And he says, "Before God, because God is the all-knowing, would you say that He already knows what we're gonna say before we even pray, because He knows the desires of our heart?"
Oh yes, God already knows, and that's a critical. Part of our prayer life, because God already knows, then we don't have to convince Him that our prayer is urgent. You know, a lot of people, when they go into the throne room, they're trying to convince God how bad it is. You know, mm-hmm. Father, the doctor said it's so terrible. The doctor said there's no cure. And I mean, God already knows.
Yeah, but
when you go to God, you should just go in faith and say, Father, I thank you that you said in your word, I'm healed.
Yeah.
And because of that, I thank you for my healing.
Wow.
And you just start fellowshipping with God.
Okay.
It could be something that
Because I was just going to ask. So then why pray if God already knows? Can we just go, Lord, you know?
No, you can't do that. Because there is no faith in that. Remember, faith is demonstrated by how we speak and how we act.
Yeah.
So faith is released through our mouth and our actions.
And there's something great. I mean, like, sorry, there's something great that you said about grace,
right?
And faith,
right.
And how a prayer actually manifests.
That's it.
You know,
that's
Can I just talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, God by grace has already provided everything that we'll ever need in this life.
Yes.
I call it the past tense of God's word. I mean, if you look at healing, the Bible says, for by stripes you were healed, past tense.
It's past tense, yeah.
You know, if you look at the blessing, the Bible says, I mean, a lot of people are still praying for God to bless them. Yet he said in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, past tense, already blessed you with all spiritual things in heavenly places. And he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Past tense, God has already given us all these things. But you know how we access them? Mm-hmm. We access them by faith. So grace is on God's side of the ledger. Faith is on our side of the ledger. And our faith accesses God's grace in our life.
Mm. So the Bible says that, you know, we are saved by grace.
Through faith.
Through faith.
That's it.
You know, which is just a wonderful thing. We're going to get to those seven kinds of prayers and requests just after this. Stay with us right in the open book, because we're learning how to pray, which is our subject for today.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours. This is CliffCentral.com.
We are speaking to Pastor Tafara Butai. Today is like a Bible study, I said earlier on. And our subject is how to pray, you know, so that we don't mumble. Or sometimes actually we don't pray because we actually think that we don't know how to pray.
Right.
So I think it's important that we gain confidence in this so that when we approach the throne of grace, that we approach it with faith.
That's it.
You know, with faith. Coming to those seven petitions. Or seven kinds of prayers.
Right.
The first one is the prayer of petition, which is the prayer of asking.
Right.
Are there limitations to what we can ask God?
I think the basic limitation is God's word. As it says in 1 John, that this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will. So basically we can ask anything, but it has to be according to God's will. You know, I think in the faith movement a few years back, people were asking all kinds of stuff. They were saying, the Bible said I can ask anything, so I'm going to ask for someone else's husband to be my husband.
Yeah.
Because that's anything. But that's against God's will. God has not provided adultery by grace. So guess what? Our limiter is if it's provided for in God's word. That's the anything that he's talking about. The anything, if you look at that word actually in the Strong's Concordance, it's the word rhematos, which means anything in God's word.
It's amazing, because the thing is, we have to pray the will of God, and the will of God is the word of God.
That's it.
And the word of God is God. So
that's
in other
it.
Words, in order to have a relationship with God, you need to know the word. So it's important that we study the word of God, because that is growing our relationship with him. It's knowing him.
That's
so that by the time we communicate with him, we know from where we're communicating, you know, like with him from.
That's it.
So how important, because it seems like it's all coming back to the word of God, the word
that's
of God.
It.
How important is that?
I mean, it's vital, because once you start having that relationship with God's word, like you're saying, God is his word and God is love, your prayers are going to be motivated by love. And the Bible is very clear that faith works by love. What does that mean? That means love is the fuel for your faith. And it also says that faith, perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? That means love is the antidote, you know, for your fear. It is the remedies. It cures fear in the life of the believer. And fear trips our faith up.
Yeah.
You know, once you entertain fear, you're not in faith.
That is so good.
To get rid of that, you just step into love.
Yeah. And you know what? And the thing is, when I went to, I decided that because I wanted to go into gospel, so I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go now and I'm going to learn all about worship as much as I possibly can.
Right.
And somehow, being in that class, I obviously started studying more of the word of God.
That's it.
And the more I did that, the more my love for him grew.
Come on.
So I can understand exactly where you're coming, where you're coming from with that answer. Do we have any control between the time that God answers our prayer and the manifestation of it? In other words, like when it comes to life, to fruition, or in this realm?
I believe to a certain extent we do. I mean, obviously, there are certain instances where in God's timing, for example, if you are believing God for a mate, God knows better than you when exactly you should be getting married. So he will, if you submit yourself to that, he will determine the right time for you to get a mate. But in instances where you're trusting and believing God for something that he's already done, for example, healing, your faith can determine how soon you can start walking in faith. A perfect example is when Jesus, said to the crippled, you know, rise up and walk. Their faith and their response to that determined whether they were going to get healed at that moment or they were going to delay their healing. I mean, if he said rise up and walk and they kept sitting there, guess what? Nothing would have happened. So it was on their part now to respond or to act on what God had said. So our faith reduces the timeline between our prayers prayed and the manifestation thereof.
Which kind of means that after we have prayed and we've applied our faith,
right,
the patience in between.
You know,
patience is not... is not the ability to wait,
right?
Because you're gonna have to wait anyway.
Yep.
If you come and you ask me, say, can I have some water, for instance,
right?
And it's like it's in my fridge, and
right.
I tell you to wait. You
right.
waiting is not patience,
right.
But what you do between that time is gonna determine. So
exactly.
I guess that is always acting on your faith. Always,
exactly.
Acting in a way that is. I mean, like so that you don't just walk out thinking, okay, cool, well, it's not gonna happen. Because then by the time I open that fridge, I mean, I know it's a stupid example,
right?
You know, like you won't be there. So
that's
I guess
it.
patience, I mean, like having that patience, and even patience comes from God.
That's it.
You know,
that's
it's
it.
A fruit of
and,
the Spirit.
And that trust to say, you know, God will do whatever he says that he will do.
Mm.
And I'm going to trust that and I'm going to act on that. And I think that's a critical component for our patience as well.
Let's go into the second one.
Right.
I don't even know if we're actually going to get it all at this time. what is the, you spoke about the prayer of intercession.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Whenever I hear intercession, I always think of the intercessors at church. Abu
right.
Mama will pray for everyone. Oh, can the intercessors please come?
Right.
And then they're like the prayer, the prayers of the church.
They just pray for everybody while everybody's doing nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The prayer of intercession, biblically,
yeah,
is basically when you're praying, Romans 8 verse 26, what does the Bible say? It says, for we do not know how to pray as we ought to, but the Spirit within us maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, one interesting example is in the life of Daniel. If you read in Daniel chapter number 9 and chapter number 10. In chapter number 9, Daniel prays a prayer,
yeah,
and it was answered instantly, literally within minutes. He got his answer. And in chapter number 10, it takes 21 days. Now, what's interesting about that is when the angel finally brought the answered prayer on day 21, he said to Daniel, Daniel, your prayer was answered in the very moment you prayed. But the prince of Persia was battling me. The forces were against me delivering this answered prayer to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do after we pray is as important as what we do in prayer. And that's
so
where the prayer
on,
of intercession is.
So do we keep on praying? Because some of the times, I mean, like, if the first time you prayed was by faith, but
right.
then you just keep on praying that, you know, like, that same thing.
So you're not asking. So your second prayer, I mean, if God says...
So it's intercession, like, when you keep on praying for the same thing over and over, or what do you pray for in the prayer of intercession?
In the prayer of intercession, you're countering all the barriers that might be hindering your answered prayer from coming to manifestation. So, for example, I mean, the Bible clearly says in that husbands dwell in peace with your wives as unto the weaker vessels, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And the Bible also says that where they strive, where strive is, there's confusion and every evil work. So all these elements can stop our prayers from coming into manifestation. Even unforgiveness can stop our prayers from coming into manifestation.
So when you pray, forgive.
Exactly.
You know, like, before you pray, go and forgive your brother.
Exactly. So when you pray the prayer of intercession, you're not asking again, because you know God has already given you.
Mm.
But what you're doing is saying, Father, reveal unto me the hindrances that might be stopping my prayer from coming into manifestation.
Wow. That's awesome. I guess also, you know, speaking about that, which is another one of those kinds of prayers is the prayer of thanksgiving.
Right.
As I was reading your book, you spoke about the great men of the Bible, who came across a point in their prayer life, like when they absolutely just felt helpless.
Right.
But what they did at that time is that they started to give thanks. How important is this prayer?
Oh man.
The prayer of thanksgiving.
It's vital, yet it's the most neglected, you know. I mean, just giving thanks to God. A songwriter once wrote, you know, when the praises or when the thanksgiving goes up,
mm-hmm,
you know, blessings come down. Now,
yes,
in the story of King Jehoshaphat, God asked him to put the praises and people who were lifting up a praise and a thanksgiving in front of the army. And as they did that, the Bible says there was confusion in the enemy's camp. Now,
yeah,
that's just what happens when you give God thanks. The enemy does not know what to do with you.
Yeah.
He gets confused. I mean, look at Paul and Silas. They are in prison. They had been beaten, stripped naked, thrown into prison. And the Bible says at midnight, they began to pray and sing praises unto God. Isn't that contrary to what we would have done? I mean, we would have started complaining, right?
No ways. I would have tried to bribe the warden. Yo, Baba, do you need anything? Call my brother. Here's the number.
you can buy you a cool drink.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And they started praising God.
Yeah.
And but as they praised God, God came into their midst and began to fix everything that was broken. That's why the Bible says God inhabits the praises or the thanksgiving of his people. I mean, Jesus took 2 fish and 5 loaves. He could have started complaining, man. I don't even know why you sent me here. I can't even feed these people. Why you sent me here? But he looked at that and he didn't say it's not enough. He looked at that and he said, Father, I thank you.
Absolutely.
So this will minister to someone who feels like their money is not enough. They don't have enough friends. They don't have enough relationships. Just take the little that you have and look up to heaven and say, Lord, I thank you.
Lord, I thank you.
And watch the multiplication anointing.
Do you know what I think kind of happens in that point?
Right.
Is that your focus comes off your problem.
Come on.
And then you start putting your focus on a bigger God. And obviously, when you give thanks, thank God for who he is.
Come on.
And as you do that, your understanding of him starts to grow. And then suddenly God becomes bigger, although he already is, but like in your, you know, like in your understanding, he becomes bigger than your problem.
And then
your faith starts to grow.
Come on.
This whole thing, it's faith with his grace.
Come on.
Equals to, and then that equals to your prayer, you know, like to your prayer being answered.
And
what I also love about that story of Paul and Silas, in prison.
Right.
Is the fact that, you know, as they're praying, the doors open
of
the prison.
Come on.
But they don't even leave. I mean, like you spoke about that as
That's
well.
It.
You know,
That's
they don't
it.
Even go, yeah, it's open. Okay, let's disband in that. Let us leave. But Come they on. Actually literally carry on,
That's
you know,
it.
Praising and worshiping God.
I like that because they were not majoring in problems. I mean, if it was you and I probably in prison, would have been praying, Father, open these prison doors. Break these prison doors in Jesus. They didn't do that.
But
they just said, thank you, Lord.
So the subject is the prison doors and not God.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. So the importance of thanksgiving.
It is vital. It's vitally important.
Yeah, and it kind of takes ourselves, you know, like it takes ourselves out of the situation and puts God in that situation.
Come on.
You know, the prayer of meditation. Something that, you know, like something that was new that I learned from.
Right.
And I'm supposed to be like this mature, all-knowing Christian.
Right.
The prayer of meditation, it's actually a prayer.
It is a
meditation
prayer.
Because, you know why? Because whenever I hear the word meditation, I'm always thinking, new age, be careful.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
This ranking starts to go on. But you say that it is very important. What is this kind of prayer?
It is vitally important. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians think that meditation is an Eastern practice. It's not. It's actually a Bible
practice.
Not that
Jerusalem is not in the East.
it's a Bible practice. It's for us, the children of God. And Psalms 5 verse 1 actually shows us and reveals to us that meditation is a prayer. Now, what's interesting about meditation is that a lot of breakthroughs in terms of success and prosperity is hidden in the power of meditation. I mean, if you look at the life of Joshua, he's taking over leadership from Moses.
Yes.
I mean, Moses was the miracle man. He used to split seas and make food rain from heaven and so on and so forth. And you come as the predecessor. You come as the person who's taking over leadership from him. I mean, Joshua was fretful. He was scared. And God gave him what I like to call the formula to success. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night and observe to do everything that is said in it. And then shall you make your way prosperous and have good success." And meditation is the only thing that we see in scripture where God commands for us to do it day and night.
Yeah.
I mean, when Jesus was in a dire moment and he was pressed, getting ready to go to the cross, he asked his disciples just to pray with him for how long? Just an hour. But when it comes to meditation, God says, "I want you to do this thing day and night."
Day and night.
And a lot of people.
Well, there's a verse. I don't remember the scripture exactly where it is. Where the Bible says that, you know, whatever is good, whatever is, it speaks about all these good
Philippians
things.
Philippians 4. Yeah.
Yeah. That like we need to meditate upon these things.
To think on these things. Think consistently.
So that is meditation.
That is
the
moment
when you're just sitting, like going over a verse in your car. Suddenly you get that moment.
And guess what?
Revelation.
And guess what? That's prayer. And it freed me from all the religious burdens of thinking I don't pray enough. Because I realized, listen, even when I'm sitting in the car, meditating on scripture, I am actually praying.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you're not just going to get into that. And a lot of people really have an objection to this. They say, well, you know, I work a job. I can't meditate day and night. You know, I'm busy. I crunch numbers and so on and so
forth. What are you thinking about?
And I always ask them this question. When you're heartbroken by that man or that woman, or when the people you owed money wanted their money from you, how much or how long in a day did you think about that? And they always say, man, I thought about it all the time. It woke me up at night. And I turn that around and I say, you see, you have the ability to meditate day and night.
Wow.
You can think on something all the time.
Mm. Love that. Okay, let's move on to another point.
Right.
This one is, there's a Matthew 18 verse 19.
Right.
Okay, and I believe that it's like, it's a verse that sometimes we've, it's like we've sort of gotten it wrong at some stage, you know what I mean? Because we always believe that it's about, you know, it's about telling people to go to church.
Right.
And it is, yeah, Matthew 18 verse 19, which says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they asked, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. You know, when two or three, there are other scriptures that says, you know, like when two or three come together in my name,
right,
you know, like there I am. But these verses actually speak about the prayer of agreement.
That's it.
There's power in agreement.
That's it.
Yeah, could you explain that as well?
And what's interesting about this power of agreement is it's at a covenantal level. You know, when someone comes to you and say, please agree with me on this prayer request, I mean, we've reduced it to just a casual talk, you know, church talk, Christianese, you know, where you just say, hey, please agree with me for this. And, you know, we don't really mean it. But when Jesus was talking about this, he was talking about agreeing at a covenantal level where, listen, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to agree with you with everything that I have until we see the manifestation of this prayer. And that's the prayer of agreement, where two shall touch as agreeing on anything in the earth realm. And God says, I will do it for them. Because of that unity of two believers coming together and saying, we're trusting God for your healing. We're trusting God for this thing to break through.
So to God, I mean, like, it's pretty, unity is quite an important,
it's quite an
important thing. And there is power. That's why the Bible says that, you know, one can kill 1,000, but two can kill 10,000.
10,000 to fly.
You're going to have a second child just now, so you think you've got one child, you're about to have another 20,000 with just the two that you have in your house. But I mean, you know, also just coming to what really touched me, right?
Right.
Is something that I need to grow in, right, and that is praying with my wife.
That's it.
You know, the fact that there is more power in that than if I just pray alone.
Oh, man. When a husband and wife come together and agree on something, man, there's just so much power released in that. But when a husband and wife live together in strife, they give the devil a foothold.
And you said, because the Bible says that it will hinder your
prayers.
You know, so make sure that you guys are living in harmony.
That's
because else it will hinder your prayer.
That's it.
I think that's awesome. Just the importance of that. I think if you're still looking for an answer whether you should go to church or not,
that's
according
it.
To our last podcast, or at least get together with other believers,
that's
this
it.
Is the reason. The fact that your prayers will be answered when you get other people involved.
That's it. Know? And because I understand this prayer, Loiso, I just don't share my problems with people that are not of faith. You know why? Because I want someone who will agree with me before we pray at a covenantal level. Not someone who, you know, if I share with them I've got this sickness or I've got a cancer, and then, you know, they say I'm gonna touch and agree with you, and right after they leave the prayer room, they go pick up the phone, call someone, and say, oh, you won't believe this. Oh, that brother's got cancer. He's dying.
Oh, man.
And guess what? They're not in agreement.
Yeah.
They're actually in disagreement and they strive there. Yeah. And guess what? This is why I just don't share my problems with people that are not of faith and are not at that level of agreement with me.
You're so
right. I mean, even Jesus would heal people and tell them, don't tell anybody.
Or sometimes he chased people out. I mean, there's certain times when he was about to heal. I think
that's
the little
it.
Girl.
Yes.
And he chased people out because he knew that they were of little faith.
That's it.
You know, and that they would hinder Jesus' praise.
Come on.
I mean, Jesus is the guy who said this must happen and that thing happened. You know
it.
What I mean?
Even the blind man, you led him out of town, remember? To the countryside.
Yes.
Because we have to be, we have to extract ourselves from an environment of doubt and unbelief.
In order to gain, in order for us, I mean, like in order for our faith to work.
Come
on. Abraham, the man with the, you know, like known as the father of faith, like
right.
the man with the biggest faith in the world.
Right.
Even he was told to get out of the land that he lived.
Come on.
So that God could take him to a place where it could just be literally just him and other believers around. Because
Come on.
Then surely wherever he was from, there was no... There was no faith, and that like it would hinder the work that God wanted to do through him.
That's it.
So yeah. So same to you. If you are in a place that that doesn't have much faith, or in a relationship where the other person doesn't have, and you can still get out. That's if you're not married, of course. I'm telling you to get divorced now. You know what I mean? Get out.
And I mean, this is where I say, if you're in a relationship, husband and wife, fight to protect that unity.
Yeah.
Don't let disagreements go on for days,
yeah.
months, and you know, silent treatment and that kind of stuff. Man, all we are doing is destroying our own lives
you
as
are.
Believers. You
Absolutely.
Know? And the Bible says, don't let the sun dip before you forgive a brother.
Mm.
So that means if we are
not
married.
Not for your brother, not for the brother's sake, but for your sake.
For your sake.
For your sake.
Because it's going to hinder your prayers.
Yeah, and you know what, man? And you can argue as much as you want against that verse, but the word of God is not going to change.
That's it.
Again, that is it. It's written. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's
so it's
it.
Best that we just adhere to it.
Amen.
We just adhere to it. We've got another few minutes left, and a few questions. We've actually, this has been so cool, because I was like, we're not going to get through a lot of this stuff, and somehow we are. I think really just by the grace of God, because He controls time.
That's it.
Let's get to speaking, you know, speaking in tongues. Now, there are many
That's
people who are
one.
Skeptics when it comes to speaking in tongues. Where does this, just a quick answer on
right.
on where this comes from and the importance of it as well.
Right. I used to be a big skeptic on tongues and speaking in tongues
Pastor
and praying
Tafari
in tongues.
Used to be a skeptic.
Man, until it got me.
Yeah.
You know, basically in my book, I talk about three different, you know, kinds of tongues. The first one, obviously, being what we see in the book of Acts,
mm-hmm.
where the apostles spoke in a tongue or a different language, a language that has not been previously learned. This is a supernatural endowment of the Holy Ghost where you begin to speak in another language.
Actually,
that
I haven't heard anybody doing hearing that as well.
That you have not learned. I mean, I've heard of testimonies where people... You know, go to Middle East or Eastern Europe countries and just, you know, kind of start praying and speaking their language. And
yeah.
people hear the gospel through that.
Yeah.
You know, and this is one kind. And the second one is a tongue which you speak to address a congregation or a church. And this must be interpreted. You know, when you speak to a church and address in a tongue, this must be interpreted. The third one is praying in tongues, which is what we see in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. The Bible says, he who prays in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man. So
mm-hmm.
this one, you're not addressing man.
Okay.
It's the only one way you're not addressing man. But unto God, you speak unto God, for no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. This is the prayer that is talked about in Jude chapter number 1 verse 20. When you pray in tongues, you build yourself up in the most holy faith. It is as a man
wow.
who goes to the gym. So when you feel discouraged, man, I always say this, a Christian has enough ammunition to counter a bad day. Just pray in
yeah,
tongues.
Yeah, because let me tell you, if you just pray in your own language, it is very hard to feel discouraged and to pray properly, if
yeah.
I can say it like
You're
that,
limited.
You know? You're very, very limited because
You're
that
limited.
Thing is just in your head. But just
yeah.
but just start praying. And it's funny because as I start praying in tongues,
right.
somehow, you know, my faith is stirred up.
That's it.
You know, like my faith is stirred up again.
That's it. And
so,
you can cover more ground praying in tongues than you can in
yeah.
English because... I could be sitting here in the studio and my daughter is faced in danger. When
yeah.
I feel that urge to pray in tongues, when I pray, I'll be issuing angelic orders. I mean, I'm praying for her protection without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because it is the Holy Spirit praying through me and wow. within me.
And it's okay, I mean, just quickly, and it's okay to pray in tongues in church because some churches believe that no one is allowed to pray publicly in tongues.
Yes, it is okay to pray in tongues to build yourself up in the most holy faith.
But then it is still in front of other people.
When you address other people, it must be interpreted.
Yeah, I mean, that's like someone going and then just speaking a language. I want to say something. Shanda Rava's like, what is he saying?
What are you talking about? It must be for edification.
But it's okay, though, if you just, you know, like, if you just...
You stir yourself up. That's it.
Yeah. Now, there were other few questions I wanted to ask you. Just to kind of say some general ones.
Right.
I want to deal first with the Lord's Prayer.
Right,
you know,
right,
Jesus
right.
says, and I and when you pray like this,
right.
How important is that?
I believe the Lord was showing us a template, and a critical template that we see in the Lord's Prayer is that Jesus started off with praise or mm-hmm. exhortation, and then he slipped requests in between, and then he ended with a praise. I always call it the praise sandwich.
It's an example of how to pray?
Yes, it is a template.
It's a template.
It's a template
but
of how to pray.
But you can use those words as well.
You can.
But then again,
just make them meaningful to you. Don't rehearse them.
It's so easy
them.
To just, you know, to just preach things that everyone is doing.
You know what
Quickly,
I mean?
Quickly, 2 minutes.
Right.
There is the sinner's prayer, you
yeah.
know, that everybody prays in churches. I'd probably say more charismatic than
right.
other churches.
Right.
In order to come to God. How,
right.
Where does this prayer come from, and does everybody need to pray it?
Basically,
the
practice was popularized in the late 1800s by a gentleman called Charles Finney. Just to get people to come to a decision.
Yes.
To say, listen, today I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. And I think it's a great tool to use, but you won't see anyone in Scripture rehearsing the sinner's prayer.
Mm. But the Bible does say,
if you
believe
in your heart
and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord,
You shall be saved. That's it.
You know, that it died and that it was raised from the dead. So it's as simple as that. What scripture is that for those who would like to pray that?
Romans chapter number 10, I believe from verse 9 to 10.
Yes. If you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's
Amen.
As simple as that. Wow.
So simple.
We've gotten through it.
Praise God.
We've gotten through it. I think it's important that, you know, there's so many things that you said that I want to just hear again at some point. Thank you so much, everyone. Yeah, 2 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks till Christmas. Next week, I want to tackle the subject of not only just the importance of Christmas, but the truth about Christmas. We did this with Halloween a few weeks ago. So I think that, you know, we need to put Christmas on the table as well and discuss it. Thank you so much for joining me right here. And thank you to Pastor Tafara for joining me as well. And just for all those nuggets.
Thank you.
My prayer life has just improved before I've even prayed. This has been The Open Book. And once again, we love you all. And start praying starting right now. Cheers.
Praise
Bye.
God.
The Open Book on CliffCentral.com. This is Cliff Central.